Okay, next question. Okay, she begins, thanks so much for the ongoing fantastic content. I continue to integrate what I'm learning in my everyday life, and it is amazing to see the connections I'm making. Also, I feel like my insights are increasing exponentially. I am grateful. Thank you for saying that. That's really nice to hear. Okay, the question now. I have seen great improvements in my life in many areas since starting this course. The one area I continue to struggle with is sleep. I sometimes have trouble falling asleep and definitely have trouble staying asleep. It often feels like I have surges of adrenaline coursing through my body, keeping me awake even though I am tired. Also, at 49, I'm completely through menopause and have had no ill effects, save night sweats, which also contributes to my wakefulness. Any insights you can give is greatly appreciated. Thanks so much. Well, thank you so much for the question, and I wish I had more to say on sleep. I mean, you know how I feel about sleeping, the process of integration time and processing, and why it's so valuable and so important. So, in terms of being able to fall asleep better, I'm not sure I can say anything more than has already been said in the greater network of health experts around creating a space that's serene and free of stimulation, free of any kind of artificial lighting, to take time to, to bring your thoughts to a calm space, to, write down anything that's troubling you so you can deal with it the next day, or any thoughts you may have that could, you could be holding on to, keeping yourself awake. I feel like all of these things have been said before, so I'm not able, I don't think, to offer anything really new and groundbreaking on that. But it is really true that we need to still ourselves and calm ourselves. What I do when I go to sleep, in cases of any use, even though my husband and I tend to get into bed at the same time, don't get any ideas. I'm not going to go there. He will often, he'll get into bed, he'll switch off his light. And so we both have like our lights on, little dimmers. So the main light in the bedroom will be off. We both have our night light, our reading lights, and he will switch his off and he'll lie down. Boom, he's done. And he'll be sleeping soundly within a few minutes. On the other hand, I have a whole kind of routine. I get into bed, and then I'll dim. I'll make it. If he goes right to sleep, if he stays up to read, I'll leave my light on. But if he sleeps, I'll dim it just so I can read or do whatever I want to do. And then, so I'll read a few pages, or I'll write down things, or I'll do whatever it is I want to do as my kind of closing activity for the day, because I have a very active mind. So I'm thinking maybe if you've got a very active mind, this might help you. And I like to kind of bring my day to a close in my own world, not in sort of the world's world. So I don't want to just go to bed with whatever. Maybe I've had a conversation with my daughter about school the next day, or my son about some water polo game he has, or a bus he has to get on the next day, or something. I don't want to end there. I want to tell from there, I'll brush my teeth, wash my face, put on my vitamin E, put my oils on, and I'll get into my bed and I'll just kind of close in my own world. I'll pick up my Omron book, or I'll write down some things, and I'll kind of spend some time there. And then I'll stay sitting up. I know this sounds a bit odd, but this is what works for me, because I always had trouble saying goodbye to the day, especially goodbye to the night. Maybe it's more to the point, because there's an energy of the night that's very seductive. Again, I'm not going to go there, guys. I'm talking about like this. You know what I mean? There's a poetry to the night, and even though it's calling us to go to sleep, there are some people that just get so creative at night, and I'm one of those people, and I know a lot of you probably are. And because there's this feminine power of the night, this seductive quality of seducing our thoughts, seducing our creativity, seducing us to kind of go places in our minds that, in our hearts, and our soul travels, and our spirit, that we don't usually feel prompted to do during the day. So there's something happening at night. Now, we want to be able to channel that into our sleep dream space and maximize that in that way. Often we need to be awake and dance till 2 in the morning and do whatever we want to do to celebrate the night, but typically that's not very healthy practice. So to close out, I do my time with my light on dim, but then I switch my light off, and I'm still sitting up with my pillows behind me in my under my cozy duvet. I always have fresh air coming through. We live in a very verdant valley with huge amounts of oxygen and ozone coming through, so it's like definitely not something to miss. So even in New York City, I have my windows open. I like to get the fresh air, the circulated air, the air conditioning, that stuff always puts me off. And so in that space, I'll just breathe. It'll be dark in the room, and I'll just sit there and collect myself and breathe, and just be there. I just like love that sitting, and it's enabled me to switch off in a way that I used to not be able to. It used to be like, I'd think, okay, time for bed. It was maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then come 11:30, I would still be a little overstimulated and not able to just surrender to sleep. And so this, I don't know when it took hold, maybe about a year and a half ago or something, when I just felt like, you know what, I kind of want to be awake for a little bit longer, but I don't want any stimulation. I want it to be dark. I want to be in this space, but I'm kind of in this between world. So I made friends with that between world, and I made it a place of peace rather than a place of contradiction and confliction and conundrum. So now it's just this place I go. And then usually within a few minutes of being there, usually not more than 5 minutes, I'll be like, okay, time to lie down, go sleep now. And it reminds me of Pippi Longstocking. Remember the original Pippi Longstocking movies, the one, you know, that's in Swedish, I think they're in Swedish. And so her mouth would always be moving in English, or moving in Swedish, but the English words coming out of her mouth. And the little kids, who are her friends? Annika and Tommy, actually, Annika and Tommy, and she would say, and they would say to her, well, if nobody's raising you, then who tells you when to go to bed at night? And she goes, well, I tell myself. And they say, well, you know, what do you do? And she says, well, I say, Pippi, it's time to go to bed. And if I don't, I say it's time to go to bed right now. And it kind of, you know, it just reminded me of that for some reason. But basically, you kind of have to do that with ourselves as grown ups. Sometimes we have to parent ourselves. And so I understand that difficulty of going to sleep. I'm not quite at the menopause, postmenopausal stage yet, so I can't speak about it personally vis-a-vis the night sweats and all of that. But that, you know, soaking your sheets in the middle of the night and all that jazz is not nice. So maybe have some towels around, so you can always wrap yourself with some towels or something so you can go back to sleep and you know, that sort of thing. Maybe sleep in terry cloth. I don't know. But basically finding ways to switch off, going to deeper levels of switching off as you go, almost like, you know, when you go into hypnosis, if you've ever gone through hypnosis, they'll take you into stages and you'll be walking through a door, or you'll be going downstairs or upstairs, and they'll take you next stage, next stage, next stage. So in a way, if you can sort of grade your graduated kind of an evening routine, where with every hour or every chapter moving from late afternoon to evening to early night to mid before bed, these stages, and they each gradually lead to this place. And I'd never really thought about it this way before, but I think that's kind of what I do. And it really helped, because like I said, I'm not one like my husband who's just gonna go to sleep, boom, like that. I know people like that, other people too. My mother was that way, and my father was not. My father was an insomniac, and at all hours of the night, he'd be watching Westerns, and like I could, you know, I could just, any time of night, if I woke up, I'd find him walking around the house or just doing something random, but usually watching a Western or some sort of old movie. And it drove him crazy that my mother could just go to sleep. And he was actually really, it was the one thing he was jealous of. He was actually jealous of her ability to just lie down and go to sleep. And I think a lot of people who suffer from a kind of para-insomnia, let's just say, feel that way. It's like, well, how does that just happen? How do you just go to sleep? So anyway, hopefully that was of some help. But then the oils will help too. If you find the right oil that gets you into it, using the same oil at the same time before bed will indicate, it'll be like a subliminal message to your mind. Okay, it's bedtime. It'll be sending your body the cues, the hormones will fire as if it's bedtime. Okay, next round of questions is here. Okay, Can you please talk about the lymphatic system and ways I can support it best beyond the tissue cleansing diet and rebounding? Okay, there's a whole series of questions here, but I'll take them one at a time. The lymphatic system and supporting the lymphatic system, every time you do anything to help expunge waste matter from the body, anytime you sweat, anytime you have a colon cleanse, anytime you twist and exercise and clean your teeth and brush your tongue, and I mean, any number of things, invert, massage, anything like that that's going to support cleansing and movement and flow in any system, whether it's breathing and it's the respiratory system, whether it's moving and it's the circulatory system, whether it's any kind of flow, your lymphatic system is going to benefit from the flow of every other system. So whenever you think about supporting the lymph, think about supporting everything else. And when you think about supporting, when you think about how everything else is important, you can think about the lymph too. So it's one system. It's just the time, you know, at a certain point, it's great to ask this question. It's a perfectly valid, wonderful question. But at a certain point, it's great to say, there is one system. How do I support the system? So think about it in that context and you'll have your answer, but you know everything, the body brushing, the rebound, all these things you already know. And they're all just tools. You don't have to use them all. Sometimes you want to use them all because you really want to get busy. But not that way, you guys, again. Where are we going with this? So, but anything that's going to keep things moving through and out, remove accumulation and support conductivity and flow and implosionary energy, meaning you want the conservation of energy, the implosionary centripetal force that is life generating versus anything that's anti-energetic, all of that is always going to support the lymph and all the systems, the system. Okay, next. The skin on my body looks like it's aging in ways that I know something is off beyond the tissue cleansing diet. Okay, I'm going to try to kind of just feel into what I think is coming in the question here. So I'm getting the sense that this individual is doing everything they know to do with regard to implementation of awaken and release and lymphatic tools and all that stuff, but the skin still seems to be losing its integrity, becoming a bit slack and lacking in tautness despite that. And there are many factors there. One, of course, would be radiation. So the exposure to computer screens, living in a sea of radiation, basically, which is the northern hemisphere, and lineage. So those are the obvious things and stress, of course, stress, which, you know, we're all tuning forks. So being around others who are stressed, having your own mental, but all these things are wearing. If you think about, there's so many things everyone in this group is doing now that they know how to protect their primal power and not have the anti-energetic drains. But until you have fully closed up all those circuits, until your entire system is in the centripetal flow and it has the conservation of energy, you're going to be expending in centrifugal explosionary release, wasting your energy. And that wasting of energy, that's wasting of primal power, it's spilling of primal power. So if you're still spilling primal power, you're still going to have the symptoms of aging. The degree to which you do that is the degree to which you're going to have the symptoms of aging. So tissue cleansing alone is only one part of what we do to prevent the wasting of primal power. So until you've all your circuits are sorted, all your circuits are implosionarily functioning, all your circuits are conservation of energy, centripetal, then there will be, but it will be slower. It will be dramatically slower. You'll be able to buy time until you can gather some of these things together. You know, one of the things I never wanted to happen to myself is just like, I'm keeping my body intact and my system's all intact. The more I know I apply, because I know there's so much more to know, and I don't want to find out about it after I've already disintegrated and deteriorated. So, you know, we're buying time to learn more, to integrate more. That's why we can't waste the time. We have to take what we learn, implement it, and learn more, and implement it, and learn more. And that's the centropic evolutionary spiral. But, you know, but until such time that we've put all these things in place, and we, you know, light up like a, you know, like a sun ourselves, there are still going to be signs, but we're slowing it down. I always think about not, you know, don't necessarily compare yourself to there's the you you're trying to achieve, but then there's the you would be if you didn't do any of this. And sometimes you have to, even though we don't want to compare a whole lot, there's a time when you have to say, okay, had I not known this and had been doing this for X number of months, years, decades, whatever, like, what would I have been? What's the alternative me? And then you're like, okay, let me rest easy knowing that I've accomplished so much and just do the best I can to keep inventing. Let me not slow down. Let me not get lazy. But let me not also, like, push myself so far that I wind up having this stress creating expenditure, needless expenditure, waste of energy, because a lot of us are high achievers. And I know in particular this individual who's writing in is a very high achiever on every level. And, you know, there's this catching up in a way that it will catch up with you. It will, there's this unraveling that will happen as you're working so hard to reorder yourself, to untangle yourself, to put the threads back together, to retrieve the lost consciousness. And what do you do in all that? You create stress. So it's like, how can you not waste your energy but give everything you've got? That's that magical place, and that's the place most people they don't know how to play in that space. They know how to waste themselves with overexertion, and they know how to be super lazy and waste themselves through radical sedentary lifestyle. But they don't know how to play with that very magical place of like, I'm giving everything, but I'm not wasting anything. That's really, really cool. Okay. Can you speak to using raw goat cheese if you have candida? Yes, I can. I think if you have extreme candida, if you know you're seriously troubled, then you need to do EGD strictly as long as you can for at least 6 weeks without any goat cheese. And if you accomplish what you need to in that time, knowing that everything else is being considered, then meaning that it's not just the goat cheese that goes, but it's everything that goes that shouldn't be in the diet, then, and you eradicate enough pathogens and you see change happening and you see everything coming back together. For example, if there's a lot of cellulite, you see it going. If there's a lot of the disintegrity of the facial tissue, you see that reintegrating and getting taut again. Whatever the symptoms are, there's so many for candida, and you know what they are. And if you see your mind sharpening, that's a good sign. If you see your all the things that start clicking back into place, then you could start dabbling again with the goat cheese. But definitely don't if you're trying to cure yourself. Okay. I feel as though my muscles have always been small, atrophied. Can you say something about this, please? Well, most people's have, because remember the whole a huge part of the discussion we had in the athlete conversations are to do with awakening. How about this? Waking up dormant parts of the body, the dormant parts that are supporting the larger muscle groups and all this connective tissue and the fascia and all this good stuff. So, waking up that which has been dormant is the same as saying that things were asleep and atrophied before. So, I'm not surprised they've been small and atrophied, because that the way we move is ignoring most of the body. So we wake it up. We wake it up with specifically just repeat the workout that I gave you with Daniel, because that's really, really going to help. And we're going to do so much more together. In fact, I'm going to get to some points. I spoke to Daniel. I took a break, came back to this. I spoke to Daniel a couple of hours ago, and he gave me some thoughts to share with the individuals asking their questions earlier, which I will do. And Daniel and I have a plan to put together another video that will go into deeper detail as well on different subjects. So we're not done yet. In fact, we're just getting started. Daniel and I are going to bring a lot of important information. I don't want to speak about things that are not my expertise. I say this all the time. There's certain things that I'm just going to leave to Daniel to speak on, because he is an expert par excellence, and I'll speak on what I know. But that much I can tell you about the atrophied small muscles. Okay. I want to improve the skin and muscles on my whole body and would love any specifics beyond the awesome lessons you provide. Thank you. And you will get them. And the specifics really need to come in the instructions, the specific exercises. So just keep on, in the meantime, doing that workout, and then we will get more to you as time goes on. I'm hoping to be recording another exercise video and more content with Daniel over the next couple of months. So let's see. I'm recording this now in October, and hopefully November, December will be our time to create this. Don't hold me to it, but that's the plan. Next is, can you say something about clearing all organs of parasites? It's an organism. So we don't organ cleanse, we organism cleanse. We don't focus on a system, it is the system. So we work on the parasites as a whole. And we just, you know the drill. It's EGD for the parasites. It's the really best approach, the single silver bullet approach. Okay, can you speak to liver and kidneys and supporting them? Same thing. This is something that comes up a lot with a lot of people, whether they've been tissue cleansing and studying this work for a really long time, or they're just getting into it. It's echoes of the health, let me just say loosely, the health community at large, the voices, and they sneak in and they're like, oh wait, oh I think I was going to do a liver cleanse. What do you think about this? Or can you have gallbladder? It's like just organism cleanse, and that's all you need to know. And when you do that, if there's nothing that you're going to do that's going to be really healthy for the body but not address the kidneys, or really cleanse the liver but not the rest of the body. And why would we want to neglect anything anyway, or focus on one specific thing when we know that all of our organs have been trying to support this organism for so long and have gotten so jammed up in their desire to filter out, like the liver, like the kidneys, to filter out the rubbish, and yet we keep putting it in. So we know that if we find the best ways to magnetize the rubbish up and out of the cells and tissues throughout the organism, so the cells combine to make tissues, which combine to make organs. If we're cell cleansing, we're tissue cleansing, we're organ cleansing. It's all the same thing. It's really just semantics. Okay, let's see. Next question. Not last question. I've got one more after this, I think. I have a question I really need to ask Natalia. I know she had asked in the latest video to identify the symptom and then remove the blockages, but what do you do with osteoarthritis? I've just been diagnosed and I'm terrified, and besides my cleansing lifestyle, I'm not sure what more I can do. Well, it's everything you know to do, it's the same thing. The issue with osteoarthritis, it's degenerative inflammation of the joints. So it's a degenerative condition to do with bones and joints, and to do with inflammation. So remember the itis, as we talked about earlier. So it's a form of arthritis, and it's degenerative, and because it's degenerative, it means it's linked to two things. It's linked to the body breaking down because of lifestyle in this lifetime and lifestyle in your lineage. So it's your lineage made this contribution, let's say loosely, it's whatever the opposite of contribution, it created a deficit in your DNA, in your genetic inheritance. So basically you were born, instead of being born with what you should have been born with if you were born 10,000 years ago, you're born with that minus this deficit. But there's a deficit in some ways, but it's not like I don't want that to be misunderstood, because you're also coming through with all this other information that has been collected. There's a reason we're doing this. There's a reason we're living out this human experience in form. We're collecting information. So even though some of the information has caused parts of us to degenerate and wind up with a physical deficit coming in, there's all this lineage information that has taught us things, has gifted us with things, if we can access it. The problem is that there's a big disconnect in the network of life, so we have a harder time accessing what we would otherwise be able to access. So the more you reconnect, the more you heal. The more you heal, the more energy you have to do the repair work actually on your lineage. Just because you were born with a deficit doesn't mean you're going to be in debt forever. So I think I probably mentioned this to you guys in one of the other videos, but at a certain point, I knew I had gone past healing what needed to be healed in this lifetime, and the damage I'd done to this body since September 29th, 1975. And I started to get to the before that. So what, you know, my mother, father, grandparents, what they had done, this lineage. And I suppose that happened about, I think I felt this click about 8 to 10 years ago. It was like, wait a minute, I'm really well, and I'm getting better in ways that don't feel like, they feel better than I felt like when I was 8 years old, 9 years old. So it must be lineage. So you start tapping into that. So it's not just, we repair this lifetime, and then we can start to repair that deficit we were brought in with, and then you get these huge surges of power, because when those deficits get replenished, you suddenly really have a storehouse. You suddenly have this reserve. You suddenly have the Federal Reserve Bank no longer has a deficit. It has this overflow. Cash flow is good. It's strong. It's powerful. So the osteoarthritis is a combination of the modern world, modern living, what's happening now, and the deficit and what was brought in. So all you can do is what you're doing. This I know there's a lot of talk about drinking collagen, taking shark cartilage. There's so many innovations on, or so pseudo so-called hypothetical theoretical supplements, new fandangled everythings that are supposed to help to rebuild cartilage and bone and restore joints and joint connectivity and bring the right lubrication, the hyaluronic acid, all this stuff into the joints to repair osteoarthritis and arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis and all these bone degenerative bone and joint issues. And they're very appealing. They are certainly very attractive in their theories. But I don't, they don't speak to me. It feels to me like more of the same kind of supplementary, putter-inner. If the system isn't connecting, if the system isn't switching on and conducting life force, and that life force is the intelligence that's going to do the repair work, it feels to me like sticking a Band-Aid on something, like putting some silly putty into a drain or into a, not a drain, but into like a pipe system that needs to be plugged up. It doesn't feel real to me. It really just feels like something without legs. That's, forgive the pun, but if there is one there. Talking about joints and bones. So that's my sort of feedback on the osteoarthritis. I think you just need to keep going, knowing that the perfection may not be reached without serious application, and even with that, in one lifetime, depending on the extent of the lineage you've got to repair, may or may not be fully possible. But I can tell you this, you're going to be able to slow the process down significantly, and you're going to make some progress. So that's better, at least that's money in the bank, as opposed to a hypothetical potential, maybe this shark cartilage collagen thing is doing something, or maybe it's not. You can certainly try those things, no real harm in trying, except the only harm in them is the ingredients. So a lot of these things have sugars and stabilizers and preservatives, so that's where it gets a bit funky. But okay, well actually now this would be an ideal opportunity to implement the diatomaceous earth, because the diatomaceous earth has the pure silica in it, which is the bone building ingredient. It's really what builds our bones more than calcium, the silica. So taking the diatomaceous earth, the food grade diatomaceous earth, as you know, does so many things. It's great for bowel health. It's great for exterminating parasites. It just like shards goes right through them. And it's also one of the greatest tools we have for rebuilding and restoring bone health. But the cleansing has to be happening so that it can really be received. Go deep and you know, get into the bone and get into the bloodstream and do the good work it can. Again, it's theoretical, hypothetical, but at least it's something within the cleansing paradigm that's going to support your system as a whole, as opposed to just putting something in that may or may not do anything at all. At least we know that this will contribute to the system in multiple ways and should have an ability to, we'll definitely have an ability to communicate, literally communicate alkalinity to the body so that further degeneration doesn't occur. So a lot of good things happening with that food grade diatomaceous earth, and it's a great time to integrate it if you're feeling any kind of bone degeneration, joint deterioration. But be preemptive. Like, why not use it long before that happens? You use it for periods, stop for periods, you don't have to use it all the time, but just making sure that, okay, well, I'm living in a world that's really acidic, I'm probably having a lot of drains on my alkaline, my alkaline mineral content in my bones, which the bones are made up of, so let me just, you know, put a little bit of money in the bank. Keep going back to this analogy, but I think it serves well to have stick with the same analogy and keep repeating myself a little bit. You know, keep putting the alkalinity in the alkaline reserve and making sure there's never a deficit. So it's just at this time things are different. We have to work with our health, you know, in the precise situation we're in today. You know, today, this week, this month, this year, and knowing that we're probably only going to need to use more of these tools and integrate more of them in the long run, and we'll need to implement them and use them sooner. So your little brothers and sisters, your kids, your grandkids, your young friends, they're going to need us to know what to do now, because they're going to need to do it then, and they're going to need to do it sooner, perhaps in many cases now. So anyway, hopefully that is helpful. Now let's move on to the there were some great questions about finance that came up on the Facebook group, and I promised I would put them in here, which I'm going to do right now.